Hello, ladies. Welcome back. This lecture is on helping women who struggle with pornography. One time I heard about a pastor's wife who told the young woman was seeking help for a pornography addiction. And the pastor's wife said, "That's ridiculous. Only men are addicted to porn." Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Statistics are alarming about women's pornography use. The statistics vary, but it is clear that it is real and a real and present danger, and is getting worse. There is a gal named Crystal Raynaud, and she has a ministry, and she calls it Dirty Girl Ministries. And she writes that it is common for women to think, "I thought I was the only one." And unlike for men, the addiction to porn in women is not as much about how it makes her feel physically, but how it meets her emotional needs. I had a counselee a while back that I worked with, and I asked her if she would write out her testimony, and she did, and that I could share it. She said, "It all started out very innocently, playing a game on the computer. I initially played with a Christian family, my sister, and my sons. I had a character who interacted with others from all over the country. I made friends with several people, and one person in particular. We had been friends for over a year, and then our conversations started turning more personal. He was a married man, but not happily married. His wife had cheated on him, so this seemed to be his justified outlet." You don't know if he was telling her the truth or not. We don't know. "Little by little, our conversations became more intimate. We progressed from the chat during the game to email and cell phone interactions. I liked having someone to share personal stuff with, and it didn't feel as wrong as it would have been if we were in person. Since he was in New York and it was just the internet, it was easier to make excuses. I really struggled with what I was doing. I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't seem to say no, or at least turn him away. We engaged in sexual talk and texting, and I was addicted. Finally, I confessed my sin to my sister and Martha Peace so that I would have someone other than myself to hold me accountable. I slowed down until I finally made the break completely and deleted all available resources. The Lord has been gracious to forgive me and to slowly remove the desire from me. With time, it has gotten easier, and thankfully, I do not wish to try to contact him." Well, for this workshop, I would like to do six things. I want to give you a typical example of Christian psychology help. And then I divided the counseling, because this is an addiction, and it's hard to give up, in phases. Counseling phase one would be biblical principles on mortifying the flesh. Counseling phase two, confession and accountability. Counseling phase three, what to do with the card catalog images and romance scenarios that come to her mind. Counseling phase four, dying to self and becoming consumed with the glory of God. And number six, recommended resources for further study and not recommended resources. Well, Roman numeral number two, Transformation Treatment Centers. Now, this is a mainly secular business to help people that are addicted to sex, but they have a Christian option, which I thought was interesting. They say things on their website like, "We know you are in pain. We can help." They said, "Sexual addiction is a compulsive and escalating pattern of sexual behavior acted out despite negative consequences. It is never satisfied. It cannot ever be satisfied. Signs of sexual addiction include indulgence in pornography, multiple anonymous partners, cyber sex or phone sex, or any unsafe sexual activity. Addicts may suffer emotional, physical, financial, and even legal harm due to their addiction. Relationships can be destroyed. Sexual addiction progresses in the same manner as alcohol and drug addictions. Small actions and activities cease to satisfy a need. So more and more stimulation is needed. An innocent peek at an internet porn site may have turned into an obsession that has divided you from your partner and interfered with your career, your health, etc." And basically, this group, this Transformations Treatment Centers, counsel one of two ways. They do one-on-one counseling to identify the underlying issues that caused the addiction, and they have 12-step meetings based on the alcoholic 12-step meetings to learn how to identify stressors or triggers. But then they have a Christian option, and it's not one I can recommend, but it is Cloud and Townsend's Boundaries: When to Say Yes and How to Say No. Their book and their information is based on the 12-step process, but they call it a Christ-centered 12-step process. And Celebrate Recovery / traditional 12-step meeting or inner healing or going to church or taking communion or being baptized. So they have that option. If you're a Christian, you can go that route. Well, Roman numeral number three, I'm calling biblical counseling phase one. And you need to teach biblical principles to your counselee on mortifying the flesh. And I got these principles from Arthur Pink's book, The Doctrine of Mortification. So I adapted it from there. And the first one, point A, to mortify the flesh means to discipline the natural desires and appetites of the physical body so that they are our servants and not our masters. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, "I discipline my body and make it my slave." And as I'm not going to read all of these scriptures because we won't have time, but you will have them on your handout, and you can go back later and look them up. Romans 6, verses 4 through 7. The second one, point B, unmortified sin is against the whole design of the gospel. As though Christ's sacrifice was intended to indulge us in sin rather than redeem us from it. And 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, verse 19 says, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." And point C, there is a ceaseless conflict in the saint between indwelling sin and God's grace. Now, if you've been a Christian longer than one day, you know that. You know that you still sin. In Galatians